Blog Talk Radio.
There's just a list of things to do, words on a page we wrote to you, but now you're gone and only these words remain. Life is short, but the list
everyone, this is Daytime After Dark, and this is a one-day show, because tonight, oh my god, I can't believe I was singing that, we have Trent Dawson on the show. I'm so excited. Our first time with Trent, called They Behave Yourself, and just remember, he's from Add the Tunes. And he was on 6 episodes of The Age and CIS and Marvelous Miss Minto. I'm going to let the guys on for a second, but first, I want to read Jasper Cole from Jasper Says of Speedy Recovery. He had neck surgery today. So I really hope you're doing okay, Jasper, and we love you. Well, Carly loves you. And I'm going to put the boys on.
Hey, Carly.
Hey,
Carly.
Hi, Carly. I'm Bobby.
Hey, David.
Hey, so how are you, boys?
Fine.
Don't do it.
I'm a little disappointed with our local ABC station for cutting part of the GH off for a fundraising drive. Now, I understand this is all in good cause, and it's a food drive, and I understand very well, and I'm not trying to say I'm one of those grumpy guys, but why cut into GH just to tell me how much money you raise?
Well, you know, they, you know what? I mean, it's a good cause that we send, you know. I mean, it's Christmas season, so we send do that. But I agree with you, but I would be in a bad mood too, Bobby. Oh, okay. I trust you. So I will do the interview, and I will let you boys on then.
All right.
Okay.
Hello?
So, Daytime After Dark presents Trent Dawson, you guys. He's been on As the Tunes, Zeno Hospital, and CIS, also Miss Marvelous of the Miss Mantenu. I know I got that wrong, but please welcome the handsome and sexy Trent Dawson. Hi.
Hi. Am I on?
I guess you're on. I'm sorry. To me, you will always be sexy. I'm sorry, but I had the biggest crush on you at the Redoons. The biggest crush. So... For David to get you on the show for me, which I never told him about my little crush because he would laugh at me. So, yeah, we are so glad you could come. I mean, I'm glad you could come more, but so are the rest of the co-hosts. And Your time on As the Wood Tunes was amazing. I mean, your character was one of those characters I would love to play because you were so funny and, you know, you were just amazing on there. And how was the whole experience for you? Because, I mean, you were on there a while.
I was, and I wasn't supposed to be. I was supposed to be there for a few weeks, and it kept going, and then it just kept going and going, and you turn around, and it was like 10 years later, and I was still plugging along. Yeah, it was a great experience.
Well, I had Terry Conn on. Well, excuse me right now, but... you know, Terry Conn Peck on about 6 months ago, seven or maybe a year. And I said, you guys were the cutest couple. And I wish they would have gone more with Katie and Henry, you know, Harry. I just thought Henry, yeah. I thought it was a mistake for you guys to not go as far as you guys did. I mean, I loved your friendship, but I wish you guys would have been able to have the romantic stuff too, but, you know, in the end, she ended up, you know, with someone else, and I just thought you deserved Katie. So I was always on that bay. You know, bandwagon of you and Katie.
I like that too, and I thought it was a unique way to approach any relationship on television, but especially in daytime, is that they were friends for 5 years first.
Exactly.
You know, before it wasn't like this instant hot, you know, erotic mess, you know, you see all the time. It was they connected on a lot of other levels before it became romantic. And I thought, yeah, I mean, why not run with that and see where it goes? But it also created some interesting storyline when I got, you know, when Henry got hurt or jealous or things like that. So in terms of playing him, it was a lot of good stuff to do, fun stuff to do. But I agree with you. I mean, that was my first love, Henry's first love, and of course Terry was my first friend on the show, and we remained so close all through that show. We still are, so it was kind of perfect, you know, because we were around each other so much already. It was kind of perfect that it happened that way. I love that the writers did that.
Well, I was too, because it was just, you know, kind of cute. I mean, cute, but after a while, I'm like, okay, people, you gotta get, you know, him more of, you know, more to do. But I mean, they did, and then finding you out, you were the evil son of James Stivick. I mean, I felt so bad for you. I'm like, don't do that to him. I'm like, you know, because I just thought, you know, it was just not nice, you know, to make you an evil son of James. Of all the characters they, you know, could have, you know, gave you to, they decided for you to, you know, the evil.
Wait a second. I didn't make me evil. It just because he was evil. And I think considering some of his other offspring, I was sort of the white sheep of the family. I think I came out okay. Everybody else seemed to be pretty dirty. And so I didn't mind it at all. Plus, I started off, I was like this unknown guy, and by the end of the show, I was related to half the town, which is, you know, a great accomplishment, I think. So, you know, it was pretty cool. I liked it.
Well, I mean, I agree with you because, you know, you did a great job, you know, playing what you were, you know, were meant to, I think. And how do you feel for you when it was ending? And you knew, I mean, you got word that Abdul Rahman was, you know, going off the air, and it happened on April 1st. So really, the fans just thought it was a really, really bad April 1st joke. And how did you feel about that?
When you found out
you were going off air. Wait a second.
I thought, are you talking about the last time we taped or the last show that aired? Because I thought the last
I'm talking
show
about
was...
when the news broke that you guys got canceled. It was a, you know, it was April Fool's Day. That's when the news came out that you guys were done with. I thought it was a bad day to even joke about it. And I do not believe it because I'm like, come on, it's another April Fool's joke. And then it wasn't.
I was told, like, I think in January or either January or the very end of December was when I was told. I didn't know when the news broke to everybody else. I had no idea that someone did it on April Fool's. What a mean thing to do. I don't know why anyone would do that. I'm sure it was by accident. They didn't realize it was April Fool's, but I didn't realize that's when it was announced. I didn't know that. What a strange thing. Anyway, your question is, how does it feel, there was a first part to that question.
Well, I just feel bad for you guys. I mean, for
Alphabetunes
and Guiding Light to book, they book the news on that same day, April Thursday, and then they did that with One Life to Live In, All My Children, too. And I'm like, okay, that's not nice to do, people.
No, it
but,
isn't. It's not nice at all.
No, but I just want to say thank you for being one of my favorite movies. You know, even though you didn't have like a name, but you were in Steel Magnolias.
Yeah.
Okay. I've seen that movie. Well, when the VHS tapes were there, let's put it this way, my poor dad had to keep on buying it because I kept watching it, and now whenever it's on TV, I find out I record it, but you were in one of the major box office hits that, you know, broke out a lot of people to stardom, and you were in the choir, and so, you know, even though they give you uncredited and not a name, which is very bad of them, and if I could go back to 1989 for you and your of them, I would.
Thank you. We were just happy to be in it. You know, the town I was in Louisiana, we were in high school. I was a senior in high school, and they came, the playwright, the guy who wrote the play that the movie's based on, was from this little town or that little area. So they brought all those people in to film it there, and they said they needed a choir for this Christmas scene, and I was in the school choir. So they put us all in those costumes. It was like August or September in Louisiana, and we were wearing like these costumes from Dickens era, so it was very hot. But we got to meet some of those folks, and it was really spectacular because none of us had ever been on a big movie set before. And, you know, I didn't know if I was going to have a career in acting or anything like that. I was just really excited to be there. And, of course, nobody knew who Julia Roberts was yet and all those other folks. But I have to say that the person that charmed everybody to death was Dolly Parton. And I absolutely adore her since that movie. She was so kind to us. She was so kind to us. We went up to record the song. and our choir director couldn't get there in time. So we were singing without anything, and we don't, if you listen very closely, we don't sound very good, but we recorded it, and then we went downstairs to lip sync it when they shoot the film. But when we were recording upstairs, Dolly came up and listened to us, and she didn't have to do that. She could have just done her trailer or whatever. And she listened, and at the end of it, she said, "My God, y'all sound so good." And she was so sweet. She was so sweet to everybody in that town. She treated that town like it was her hometown. I absolutely adore her. Adore her. So that was my highlight of the movie, was getting to meet Dolly Parton. It was the best part for me. Yeah. But that was cool. It was cool to be in that. We had no idea it was going to be such a hit.
Oh, well.
Really cool.
Oh, well, yeah. Like, when you have a Steel Magnolia stalker who's a radio host, yeah, like no one will watch the movie with me anymore. No one will.
Oh, no.
No one. They go, "Okay, we've seen this movie enough, Carly." I'm like, "No, you don't understand. It's one of the best movies." So yeah, I have to see the movie alone now, just because I have made everyone sit through this movie. I mean, my dad's like, "Okay, I've seen it 3 times. Doesn't that count?" I go, "No. You have to see it like 2,000 times to get the meaning of it." And so he thinks that's weird, but that's okay. But you were also on one of my favorite TV shows, thank you very much, on NCIS LA. Oh, my gosh. How was that? I love you in it. I remember you were the, doctor in it. You did a great job. How was that? Because Chris O'Donnell, Ariel Curzay, do I have to say more?
Yeah, and that was a neat experience because I think it was my first job in Los Angeles. I had moved out there not too long before that, and I had done some, episodic television in New York, like The Good Wife and Homeland and stuff like that. But that was my first job out there, and it was so it was a really cool experience just to sort of break into that out there and be the bad guy in one of those things. And then I got tackled by LL Cool J, which was a trip. He's a large man. And when he came up behind me, I was like, "Oh, man, this is going to be – I mean, they had a stunt guy for me for the fall. But he was on me when we were down on the ground, and I was getting handcuffed. So it was a trip. But he was a sweetheart. They were all over. Chris O'Donnell was really sweet, and Ella was really very sweet. It was a cool experience. It was a cool experience. The one that was really – because I've done two of them. I haven't done Louisiana, but I did what they call the mothership, the NCIS.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
And
yeah, I mean,
is...
you also did NCIS, and then you did a year later, you did LA, and then you did NCIS. So you covered in that department really well, you were on Homeland, which you did a great job there. I thought you were wonderful. And The Good Wife, I mean, but when they brought you on to General Hospital, which is like nothing against Adverton people, but it's been my show that I started from day one. How was that? Because I just enjoyed the character. And, I just thought it was such a great place for you to be. I mean, I want you back. So whatever you need me to do, I will do. If you want me to really harass Frank on Twitter bringing you back, I will do it. I don't mind.
How was that for you?
How was booking with Steve Burton and... Kelly Monaco and all those. How was it?
It was great. He was just coming back on my sec, because I did two tours of duty there.
Yes.
And the second time I came in, it was a former head writer from World Turns was the head writer at General Hospital, and she told me that the stuff she wrote for my character was the last stuff she wrote for GH before she left, and she wanted to I think she was sort of channeling Henry a little bit, because she wrote a lot of great stuff for Henry back in the World As World Turns days, and it felt like that. But he had been doing something else, and so when he came back, he was like, "I haven't played this character in years," and so it was a trip for him because he was sort of rediscovering the guy and who he was, and of course, I think the guy couldn't remember who he was anyway. So it was, a real interesting journey, and I was really glad I was there for that because he was like putting on an old suit, you know, he was getting comfortable again, and it was cool to be there for that because he was a really nice guy. We had never worked together. I don't even think we've run across each other at like, you know, events or anything. So it was my first time meeting him, and he was great, absolutely great.
Well, yeah, I mean, I want you back on GH, so if there's anything I can do to help you, I will.
Whatever you can do, do it. I would work there again, absolutely. Whatever you can do, absolutely.
You know, because I think they need you on daytime, full time. And, okay, so right now, you've been working on the Marvelous Miss Man.
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah, thank you. So how is that going? I've seen some episodes. My TiVo is full, but I'm going to catch up. But how is that for you?
Well, they're a hot show right now on Amazon, and Amazon loves them, and I can see why. They have... especially in Rachel Brosnahan, they have an incredible lead. They have great writing, but I mean, my wife and I watch it because we love the writing and the acting on it. But when you get on set, and Amazon spares no expense. I mean, they really take care of the storytelling. When you get on set, what they're doing with the camera work is just fascinating. I just sort of stood in the wings when I wasn't shooting and just watched what they were doing because it's like a dance that they're doing with cameras. And people weaving in and out of the cameras. And if you watch, especially this season, it's spectacular. And sometimes you don't even notice it's happening, which means they're doing their job. But if you really break it down, it's like a ballet with the camera. And there's not a lot of shows doing that out there. Yeah. So that's what was really cool. I mean, I love doing the scene work and meeting them and having fun with them. But I also just loved watching what they were doing technically. It was really neat.
Well, you know, I just think your career is amazing, and if you want me to get you on daytime again, I will, because like
absolutely.
I say, it's not fair for me not to see you like once a day on my screen. For me, this is my selfish thing. It's all about me. It kind of helps you because you need the money, but it would make me happy. So, yeah, if you want to do, like, soaps again, let me know, because now that we have Facebook friends, and follow me on Twitter, daytime 69786. I promise I won't stalk you. I promise I will be good. okay, and I better let the boys on, because I'm sure they're going to think I'm hogging you, which I know I am, but, you know, it's my show, but the boys.
It's your show.
David and Bobby, I know, I ask you questions, so I'm going to bring on David first.
Okay.
Hey, David.
Hi, Trent. How you doing?
Good, David. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we got to have you back in daytime, back on Geronimo. You were hilarious on Geronimo. You were really
Thank
good
you.
On
I
there.
Had a great time there. Yeah, they gave me some fun stuff. Yeah, I'd love to come back on there. Absolutely.
Yeah, you need to have a petition. Get you back on there. Start a petition. I don't know.
Yeah.
I want to know what it was like with Lynn Herring. No, I love Lynn Herring. It's my favorite character, Lynn Herring.
Lynn Herring.
At what times?
Oh, yeah, when she came on and played my mom?
Yeah.
Oh, it was wonderful because Lynn's like, I mean, this is going back a few years. Lynn is just like this very calm breath of fresh air that came into like the whirlwind of that storyline. And even though she played someone that was a little nutty, she's not like
yeah.
that. And so it was
yeah.
a lot of, it's also a lot of fun for her to get to do that. Like, I don't think she indicated she didn't get a chance to kind of play characters like that. So it was a lot of fun for her, which made the whole experience really good. I adore her. I think she's wonderful.
Yeah, I'm a big Lynn Herring fan. I love her, boy. Cause I know that
yeah.
I feel about Lynn Herring. I'm like, she's like my idol.
Yeah.
Yeah. You also, what was I working on The Good Wife? I saw you on that, The Good Wife.
Yeah, that was great. And it was with, oh my God. Oh, Michael J. Fox. Was the stuff who, the main person I worked with, and that was really interesting
yeah.
because he's a real pro. Like, he's been doing this for a long time, and just working with him, you know, I was just coming out of daytime, and we film a certain kind of way, and then you move into a nighttime show like that, and they just have a different way of filming things. So I was sort of finding my place in that, and Michael was incredibly helpful with that. Without directing me, he was just very good at sort of nudging me in a way that helped me understand what he needed and what would work for the scene. And it was also great to just meet Michael J. Fox, you know, that was really neat. So, yeah, it was a really good experience. Man, that was a long time ago, but it was a very good experience. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. You're also good on NTIS. They'll be on that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uncle J, yeah.
Yeah, that was. I mean, they're both good shows. The what we call the Mothership, which is the first show, NCIS. That's like working with Mark Harmon. It's like, you know, he's just a great leader. Like, you can tell why he was a good quarterback in college. Like, he comes on set and everyone is like, all right, we're going to do a great job today. He just has a way of, without saying anything, sort of commanding respect. And I love working with people like that. And so it was a really, like, well-oiled machine, that set. I really liked working there.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on. I'm a big fan of yours. How are you?
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Absolutely. Happy to be here.
Okay, I will bring on Bobby. So, David, I will put you on hold.
Okay.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Trent. Hey, Trent.
Hi.
Hey. First off, I just want to say it's great that you had a chance to return back to General Hospital and reunite with Mara West, who was Carly on As the World Turns.
Yeah.
Not to get confused
yeah.
with Laura Wright's Carly, because they were two different Carlys, and they sometimes it got kind of confusing, especially when Sarah Brown was on there as a different character on As the World Turns than Carly. Because
mm-hmm.
I was supposed to her being the original Carly on General Hospital. Because it kind of got a little confusing at sometimes that you had Marla as Carly and Sarah, who came from General Hospital, as Carly. As somebody
oh, my goodness. I'm already confused.
But what was it like to reunite with Marla? And aside from catching up on old times, did you all miss on your favorite moments on As the World Turns?
Sorry. The thing about Mara is, and I mentioned this about Michael J. Fox too, Mara's like a consummate professional. So whatever, like, you think your A game is, when you're working with Mara, you need to take it up a notch. And that's why I like working with her so much. And I wish we had more storyline on World Turns. We didn't have a ton of story together. So I really appreciated the opportunity on GH to play, especially since I got to torment her a little bit. And we had a lot of fun with that. We had a lot of fun that I kidnapped her and then tormented her a bit. So it was great to work with her, and it's also, you know, it's like working with the A-team. Like, you know what I mean? You know you're with the best people when you're working with her, and I like that feeling. I like that feeling a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
And Yeah, and like Carlos said, we had Austin and Carrie about a year ago on the show, and it was great to actually talk to them because I didn't realize that a couple months later I would see Carrie Khan in the middle of the night selling items on QVC.
Oh, yeah. I know. Wasn't that a trip? Yeah. She's great
on
that.
Because I got that through the Instagram account of her that she was doing QVC. And the only thing is, if I only had that much money and was able enough to stay up late at night, I could probably just had a chance to talk to her and buy an item at the same time.
Yeah, I know. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah, she's awesome on there.
But it's just a pleasure to, you know, get a chance to talk to you, and hopefully we'll see you back on Daytime. You're back on General Hospital or another show.
I would love it. I absolutely love it. Yeah, whatever needs to happen, I would like to help it happen. I really liked working there. I like the executive producer and the team out there. I know some of the crew because some of the As the World Turns crew went over there. So it felt like a second home, you know, when I was out there. It felt very comfortable, and I really enjoyed it. And they have some really good, talented people doing that. So
because I know Lynn Harding is occasionally pop up as Lucy on General Hospital, and Ken will be on there sometimes with Scotty, and of course you got Mara, and then of course you have Wes and Laura who were on Guiding Light that are also on there.
Yeah, and you got John Lindstrom too. I became very good friends with and still am with John and Katie McLean.
I forgot about John. Yeah. I know that up until maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, Sean Christensen was on Days of Our Lives, and it was just kind of a shame that he's not back in daytime, because I would suggest, and maybe I'll just suggest this to his girlfriend Ariana Zucker, to put him on General Hospital if he returns back to daytime, because it would be great. And it would be perfect for you to come back.
I would love it. Make that suggestion.
I'll make sure I just send that message to Ari and Sean as soon as I get off at the air.
Awesome, man. That's great. Thank you.
All right. But you have a great holiday, great Christmas.
You too.
A great Christmas, a great 2020. And hopefully we'll see you back on TV somewhere down the road.
I hope so, too. Thank you very much. And you have a great holiday, too.
Okay,
thanks, Bobby. Okay, so Trent, I have a favor for you. So if you talk to Terry in the next, I don't know, couple months or whatever, I think it would be a great idea to get you guys on the show together, like a Trent and Katie hour or something I could call it. And I think it would be wonderful to get you two back on the air. And, you know, you guys were so always in sync. So if you could do that for me, it would be wonderful.
You want Terry and me to get back on the air together?
Yeah, back on my show. I mean, I know daytime might not be ready for you, the combo of you. Guys, but I am ready. So this, it would make my dream come true if I could get the interview of you two. And then maybe daytime you'll finally be listening to
I'm sorry, I misunderstood. So you want Terry and I to come on your show?
Yes. And
I'm sorry, I totally misunderstood you. Yeah.
Yes, and then, you know, people, daytime will have to listen to me. And you guys can get back in daytime because you guys need to be back on a soap. And your chemistry was off the wall. No, no diss to Austin. I love you, Austin. You know I do. But I was going for you, too, and I didn't get what I wanted. So if you could do that too for me. And David and Bobby will kill me if I don't get you back on Daytime After Dark. And I might not be happy either, so you have to come back.
I would love it, and I will totally reach out to Terry. I owe her a call anyway for the holidays.
It's crazy with the holiday. This crazy, especially when they only gave us not even a month between Thanksgiving and Christmas. You know, and I hope you have all your shopping done, you know, because in 2 weeks it will be Christmas.
I don't have it done.
Fine. You know what? If you want to hire me as a personal shopper, I don't mind. I love shopping for people. I really do. It's, you know, a fun little hobby. Besides, you can go to the mall. But please come back and please have a great holiday. And just reach down to me on Facebook. We are Facebook friends. Today, and you got my request, so please, please, please come back.
I will. Thank you so much for this interview. It was a lot of fun, and I will talk to you.
Oh, my
God.
Okay, yeah. Okay, thanks. Have a great night.
You too. Take care.
Bye. Hello, boys.
Okay, Bobby.
Okay, I need to apologize to both of you. I'm sorry I kind of took over that interview. And I'm not sorry I was flirting, but I'm sorry I got you guys in on the end of the show. But it was my fault because I had a crush on him, and I didn't want to let you two know because you were teasing me about it.
And
she had that in the time. What?
Well, now I'm going to tease you.
And David, you have more blackmail over me than anything. And you think I need, shit. Okay. Bobby, I'm sorry. Sonny, I put you guys on at the same time.
I'm sorry, Carly. You forgot me.
Okay, so I just really want to apologize to both of you for, you know, kind of hogging the show tonight. But
that's okay.
You know, he's cute and sexy, and so
I'm telling Jasper. I'm kidding.
I promise. Next time I won't do it. Well, maybe. But I will try and be more thoughtfulness about it. But, you know me. And, you know, and I just, Maggie's under the weather. She's not feeling well. And it's very cold in Chicago, you guys. It's freezing in Chicago.
Not in Miami. Florida.
It's
cold in North Carolina,
too.
But it's raining now. It's pouring out raining right now.
It's 22 degrees in Chicago right now, poor Maggie. And it is 46 here. And what about you guys? Are you cold, Bobby?
I'm about to check the temperature right now because it's 39 degrees in Claire.
Wow, keep that cold weather. Keep it up there. Keep it up. Don't bring it down Florida. It's hot down here. It's hot. It's raining now. It's raining down here. It's pouring out rain right now. It's been hot all day. Florida. It's good boy weather. Please keep that book. No. Yeah.
Well, all I got to say is I'm sad about the Seahawks. I mean, we kind of got crushed Monday night. But Sunday, you know what threw me off? Because we played, you know, in the night. And that, we never, but you know what, we were in prime time. So, and we got injuries. And, you know, we were dealing with half of the guys having the flu. So I'm not making excuses for us, but, you know, we will come back and, and beat your team, Bobby, on Sunday morning.
I'm just giving up on the team because we got rid of our coach. And we're doing bad, and I just completely given up on them. So I'm just kind of going to be happy if you guys beat us on Sunday. It's kind of bad, but it's on the same time as the Bears-Packers game, and I don't think the NFL wanted to move the Sunday game because the Sunday night game is the Bills and Steelers that they took from CBS, and there was no other way to move the Bears and Packers to 4:25 because – there's already 2 4:25 games that Fox have, and
you know,
so
and
it was impossible to do that.
You know, it's the end of the season, and you know, it's the end of the season. So, and right now, it doesn't say. We are on Fox on Sunday morning, you guys.
Yeah.
At 10 o'clock in the morning.
That's a 10 o'clock game for you guys. But
10 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah. But
that is not good for Cully.
I'm in a playoff scenario now, and it looks like you guys.
That is not good for Cully to wake up on a Sunday morning. David. Okay, we are off this Friday because, you know, I just want to take this Friday off because we will be doing an interview next Friday, right, Dave? David?
Yeah, we've got three interviews next week. We've got Veronica, Jimmy next, and Janelle. Next Friday.
So we have
the interviews. Ryan Monday and Jeremy on Wednesday and Janelle and next Friday.
Right. And I'm looking at the playoff scenario right now, and it looks like you guys will be traveling to Dallas if the season ended. If the playoffs started this week, you guys would be at Dallas to play the Cowboys. You guys would be the number 5 seed, and they would be the number 4 seed. So I'm just kind of rooting for you to at least get home field or at least avoid a possible matchup with Dallas or New Orleans in the first round.
Well, yeah, I just want to stay in the playoffs. You know, I mean, I won a loss of Christmas, but I was, okay, there are three things I won for Christmas. Okay. I want them out of the office, number one. Number two, I want Corday and Carabelli out of the job.
No comment.
And number three, I want the Hawks to go to the Super Bowl.
Okay,
I mean, besides all that Amazon gift cards I want and everything, but really all I want for Christmas is to see Trump out of office and, you know, and if Carl Valley loses his job by then, it will be a really good Christmas, right, Bobby?
Yeah.
Because I cannot in great, you know, in great thing anymore. Well, I'm watching games. I'm more confused than ever. And, you know, I'm watching Dave because I'm a loyal viewer. You know, that's the only reason I'm still watching Dave, because I'm loyal and I'm good. And I haven't caught up with this week's subs. And I don't know if we will have the impeachment stuff tomorrow. I don't know. I don't know if that's going to go on. But, you know, and we will be, so we will be back one day,
Monday. Well, right after.
Monday. We have it on Monday. Oh, okay. I love you for. Oh, I forgot to tell you, David. Amazon had the Big Bang series ball calendar on Amazon.
Yeah.
So I just thought if you want to buy yourself a little gift. You know, and I just bought my new Spinard book today. Well, it's not out until February. So Megan and I pre-ordered our book today because we are insane. So you guys have to get that book. It's supposed to be one of the great books. And, you know, it's going to help a lot of, you know, go to the mentor, help, you know, so mentor help, thing. So, yeah, and, can you just, David, just be, text me, remind me, who we have, text me, because my brain's, like, gone. My brain's been gone.
Yeah.
And just remember, I'm no so Friday, but we will be back on Monday. And are you going to call in, Bobby?
Yes. Now, who we got for Monday?
Ryan Eckert. He's been in Claro. He's gone to before. Ryan Eckert.
Monaco, he's such a sweetie, and another one I get a flu with.
Yeah. Okay.
Guys, let's end this show, but have a great weekend, and do not get in trouble with your girlfriend, Bobby. But just remember, if you want to buy your girlfriend something nice for Christmas, remember diamonds are a good best friend.
Yeah, but I'm not that rich.
What?
I'm not that rich.
But your girlfriend will love it.
Okay. I'll think about it. I'll look into that. I got some good suggestions for Christmas.
I mean, it doesn't have to be like a big diamond, but just a little thing could get you, like, totally... You know, totally, you know, in more of a love box than ever.
Oh, okay. I'll look into it.
Okay, so we are going to end this show, but we will be back Monday night.
Okay, have a good one.
Okay.
Yeah, bye.
Bye,
Bobby.
Bye.
Sorry.
But that All the memories and promises that we shared. It's you and I both know it doesn't always go the way you planned. That's how it goes. I know the valley's always darkest in shadows, but I know you're gonna be there. You after the sun, light's gone. You're always bring me back home when I'm lost on the road. My heart, wherever you go, is you are son of God. The good times and the bad, you took my hand. A shoulder to cry upon when nothing's making sense. Oh, you and I have grown apart, but we both know if you need me, I'll be there. I know the valley's always darkest in shadow. But I know you're gonna be there up ahead. You're my light when I'm lost. You're my warmth in the dark. I see you after the sunlight's gone. You're always bringing me back home when I'm lost on the road. My heart's wherever you go.
Daytime After Dark for this week, but we will be back on Monday with Ron Eckhart. Have a great weekend, you guys. Okay, bye-bye.